The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Reverend Charlotte. I'm an interfaith minister and street chaplain. It is a joy to be here. This place is very special to me. Reverend Vanessa is one of my dear friends. I've known her since I was literally a baby. And I used to work here for a summer when I was 19. So it's very cool to be here. As you can see, I am not standing behind the pulpit, and I do not have a piece of paper in front of me. Ah, kind of scary. I have been preaching and talking about my work as a street chaplain for about a year now. And when I started that work, I had written something up. I stood behind the pulpit. And I would always go home feeling really, really sad and like something was wrong. So one day I tried doing this and just speaking from the heart. And it ended up really transforming how I view talking about the work that I do, because I felt like through doing this, I am honoring my experience. And my experience as a street chaplain is extremely vulnerable. It's very precious to me. And it's something that comes fully from the heart, and it's about walking in that heart space. And it's also about breaking down barriers. And so something about writing something up and standing behind a pulpit doesn't fully align with that experience of really walking in that love and choosing to really rest in this vulnerability. So today I'm going to talk to you about what I do as a street minister and street chaplain. I use those words interchangeably. And then I'll tell you a little bit about my journey getting to this point and how Temple of the Forgotten, which is my new organization, came to be. So what is a street chaplain? What is a street chaplain? It's a question a lot of people ask me. This is not a job that you can find on LinkedIn or Indeed.com. Can't really go searching for jobs as a street chaplain and wherever else I want to go. Street chaplain is a very rare job. Oftentimes, street chaplains are not paid or they are homeless themselves. It's something that is new to this world in many ways. But San Francisco has had street ministers on the streets since the 60s, which is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So my work primarily consists of walking out on the streets. I always joke that San Rafael, I work in San Rafael, Marin, I always joke that San Rafael is my office. So you can find me anywhere in my office, walking through an encampment, walking down 4th Street, talking to people. I have a route, I call them rounds, and I'll walk down the route and I'll look for people who I know. I'll go down into the encampment, I'll knock on doors, and I'll go inside their tents and sit with them. My work is very dynamic and complex. I don't really know who I'm gonna meet, I don't know what state they're gonna be in, and I don't know what is going to happen. Some days, I am just walking around for a little bit and just saying hi to people, saying, hi, how are you, how are you doing? Talk to me, what's going on? Other times, I'm sitting with one or two people, and we're going through it, we're talking, I'm listening to them deeply about their life experiences. Sometimes I will meet someone having a psychotic break. Sometimes I'm going to have to call 911 because something difficult is happening. Sometimes I am just fully in another reality with someone who is schizophrenic and just wants to tell me about what they're experiencing. So the primary thing that I do is I meet people where they are. I'm not going in trying to change or fix their situation. I'm not trying to control them in any way. I am simply trying to be there, trying to bear witness. It's really important as a street chaplain to bear witness, and that is the most important thing that we do, is that we have a willingness to dive into the suffering with people and not run away. I also build relationships. I call my clients my friends because they know about me, I know about them. I do have boundaries around what I share about my life, but we have a relationship. And this is very important because the relationship is healing. In this relationship, I choose to affirm them and bring out their strengths. I try to empower them in who they are. I try to validate their experiences when the whole world doesn't want to listen to them. I try to be present for them in a way that a loved one is present for each of us. In this relationship, the purpose behind it is to heal the trauma. To heal the trauma of being isolated, of being ignored, of being surrounded by other people who are in intense trauma. And to really allow the person to begin to rest in their humanity again. This is what the street chaplain does. A lot of these folks go about in their lives and forget that they are human because the world has stopped treating them that way. There are very few people out there who are willing and able to go towards them and say, "Hi, human. How are you doing?" I'm not always sitting with people and having super deep conversations with them. One of my friends and clients I play football with. We'll just toss back the football back and forth. I'm really bad at football, but he's teaching me. I have a few people who will just sit and they'll tell me jokes. And we'll just laugh. Sometimes we'll pray together. Sometimes we will just talk about the weirdest stuff that make absolutely no sense together. It's about the relationship. It's about showing up over and over and over again, saying, "Hey, I'm here. You want to talk?" I also go into the jail, which is a great, great joy of mine. I have about 6 to 8 people who I am seeing on a weekly basis. It's really important that street chaplains also go into county jails because more often than not, if you are unhoused on the streets, you will find yourself in a county jail at some point in your life. Going into county jail is very important too because a lot of these folks don't have money. They don't have people who come to visit them. And so they're sitting, waiting for the court systems to move along. On one hand, it's good for them because a lot of the people who I work with who are unhoused, I'm able to work with on a deeper level because they are getting oftentimes better rest, regular food, medication, a sense of some safety. So being in jail with folks means that I'm allowed to have 45-minute, one-hour conversations with people, talking to them about their past, learning about their history, building an even deeper relationship. Going into jail is another way of showing up in a really big way. It's another way of saying, "I don't care what you've done. I mean, I do care, but I'm still going to be there. Even if you go back out on the streets and start doing drugs again, I'm still going to be there." It's a consistent relationship. It's a relationship that has boundaries, but doesn't have expectations. It is a very hard job to do. and very isolating for me as well. There's nothing like sitting with someone in hopelessness and despair. And not, you know, I want to run away. It's scary. It's always been very scary for me. But it's also spiritual practice. And that is the gift of the street chaplain, is that they're constantly practicing what it means to be present, to bear witness. A lot of people, when I tell them what my work is, they have interesting things that they want to say to me after I explain to them what I do. The most common is, thank God you do it, because I couldn't. It's a funny one. It's a funny one because I once said that out loud. When I first started seminary, I was very intent on becoming a hospital or hospice chaplain. I was very, very interested in death and dying and illness, and could never have imagined myself doing this work. I remember sitting in a class on Zoom, and there was a panel, and one of the panelists was a street chaplain who's now a dear friend of mine, and she was talking about her work, and I said out loud, not on Zoom, just to myself, said, oh, thank God she's doing that, because I couldn't. That's not the work for me. There's a reason for that, and the reason is that most of my life, I have been afraid of those who are unhoused. It's never been for any particular reason. It's never been really a conscious thing. It's been a bias. It's been misinformation. It's been cultural, the cultural biases that are given to us. And it was something that I was always very ashamed of. I was very ashamed of that fear. And around seminary time was when I started to say, okay, this is real. I need to start working on this. There's something happening here. And so when it came time for me to have an internship, I was looking everywhere for jobs with hospitals and hospice. I couldn't find a single thing. And if any of you know the work of a chaplain, you'll know that the easiest job you can find is in a hospital or a hospice. Like, it's, you know, very, very easy to find. But I couldn't find it anywhere, and so I started emailing around very desperately and connected with the executive director of the Street Chaplaincy, which is the organization that has been employing me. And in that moment, we had a Zoom call, and I felt like the spirit of love was present. I felt this divine thing, and I knew in that moment, this is something that I need to dive into. This is something that I need to go towards. And so I did. I went towards it. I walked into my first encampment ever, and everything changed. Because all that fear was not real. It was founded in something else that didn't belong to me. And as soon as I began to connect with people, I began to realize that I was so similar to them in so many ways. And not only that, but that they were some of my favorite people and continue to be some of my favorite people in the world. There is a whole population of people in our community who are spiritual, beautiful, wise, slightly cuckoo, slightly amazing weirdos. And I'm that too. And I felt this connection, this thing of like, oh, this is what our world is missing, are these folks. Why have we pushed them away? Why have we pushed them away? Temple of the Forgotten is founded on the principle and the knowing that the greatest harm that those who are unhoused and locally incarcerated experience is community isolation and dehumanization. That is what I've learned as a street chaplain, is that the fact that we have walked away from these individuals, we've disconnected from them, we've turned away, we've judged them, we've allowed our biases and our fears to fester. That is harm. That is the greatest harm. And we, as a society, have not addressed that. We have put a lot of energy in saying the government's going to build more affordable housing. The government is going to get more food security options. And I totally, completely support that. But there's another movement that needs to be begun. And it is the one that belongs to the people, to the communities. It's about creating a community of belonging where all people are welcome and all people are respected as valuable, as beautiful human beings. Temple of the Forgotten is about creating that community. And it takes time. Part of our work is about really slowly helping folks to understand what their fears are, what the biases are, to say this is not a bad thing, this is not a thing that we should hate, but a thing that we need to talk about. Because we live in a world that has a lot of misinformation and hatred towards those who are mentally ill, towards those who are experiencing addiction, towards those who are experiencing poverty. Just as racism and sexism and homophobia live in our bodies, so too does povertyism. My hope is to begin to build a world and a community where each and every one of us knows that we are responsible for one another and where we are brave enough to go towards the suffering. Despite the fear, despite the discomfort, their suffering is our suffering and our suffering is their suffering. We are a community, and those who are unhoused are our neighbors, and they are our friends, and they are a part of who we are. And it's frightening in some ways, because our world has been operating in a very particular way for a very long time. But in my world, it's actually quite joyful. Because since doing this work, I have become a more grounded person, a more grateful person, a more joyful person. I've been given the gift of being able to get to know many, 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 many people on a level that is so profound. And that can belong to all of you as well. I know everyone here is not going to become a street chaplain. I understand that. But there is a way for us to begin to educate ourselves, to bring awareness to ourselves and our actions, and to begin to move forward and build pillars in our community where people can come together, to build spaces where all are welcome and all are respected. This is the deepest joy. This is the deepest gift that we can give to one another. My hope, again, Temple of the Forgotten, it's about bringing community awareness. It's about helping communities create opportunities for relationship building with our unhoused community. And also, my hope is one day it'll be about supporting and training and loving more street chaplains And my dream is that one day tens of thousands of street chaplains are all across the United States. There should be 100 right now in San Francisco, maybe more. The purpose behind this is that we need to begin to focus on care and compassion. We need to begin to walk the walk of compassion and begin the movement that is rooted in our communities and rooted in each of us in whatever way we can. And so my hope for you all today is that the next time you see someone who is unhoused, if it was challenging before to look them in the eyes, maybe try and look them in the eyes and smile. If it was challenging to start conversation, maybe give it a whirl. To begin to push yourself past the fear, past the discomfort, and to really search for the human in both you and the other person. And I promise you that that journey will be a powerful one for you and a joyful one. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for opening your hearts to this idea. This is, again, a gift, an opportunity for us to grow. Thank you. Blessed be. Hi, everyone. So our reflection today is a special one. When tasked with planning this service, I wanted to make sure that at least one voice of a member of the unhoused community was present here today. And this reflection that you will be hearing is a brief conversation between a dear, dear, dear friend of mine named Mark, who gave me his consent to play this recording and tell you his name. And I hope that you can feel what a special person he is and get to know more about what his life is like and also the work that I do. Thank you.
Okay. Hey. Can you tell me your name and maybe a little bit about yourself, like right now, like...
Of course. I'm Mark Rivera. I'm 64. I live in San Rafael in the city park. And I have been self-sufficient here for the most part. And I rely on the kindness of members of the housed community for their acceptance. Of myself being here, that's probably the most important thing to me. Yeah. Mm. Now, these days, my ambition is strong, and I have goals that I intend to manage to come to fruition, and hopefully bring a couple of. Couple of life lessons along with me. Mm. How's that?
That's great. What are some of your goals? Where
Color
do you
TV.
See yourself?
Yo,
TV.
No.
the
joke that I've carried with me for several years now is, most homeless people, they also share this sentiment that I want to share with you, and that's food availability. If someone would, for quite some time now, someone asked me, well, what can I do for you? Cheeseburger. That was the joke, a cheeseburger, you know. The,
yeah.
Like Wimpy, you know, yeah. the cartoon?
Yeah.
But yes. I went through periods of time in my 32 years of being homeless, of dreaming about food, dreaming about nothing but food, just enjoying like a hot meal. That is on the top of the list of, I pretty much guarantee it, for homeless people that for the most part have their life together. I'm talking about the unfortunate souls that are heavy drinkers or use of narcotics where they don't feel like eating.
Their
dreams are of using those things. Mine are about food, and most homeless people that have their act together to the degree where at least they know where they want to go.
It's, what is your journey with food been? I know it's been a really intense one for you.
Yes, it has certainly been a roller coaster ride, and it's not over yet. And fortunately, I'm on the downhill swing at this point, so it's I'm putting weight on. I'm regaining my health, and focusing on improving the stress level.
Absolutely. I'm curious, like you said, you've been homeless for 35 years.
32.
That's a really long time. And like, what is, like, how has that impacted who you are as a person? And like,
it made me bitter, made me angry, made me ostracized from the house community that don't understand what homeless people go through, only what they see of the negative side. What they don't see is what caused the homelessness to begin with.
Yeah.
And, you know, one can say, oh, well, it's bad upbringing or drugs or alcohol. But what caused the drug and alcohol use is what caused the homelessness. Mm-hmm. And society caused the drug and alcohol use.
Yeah.
And only society can fix homelessness.
For sure. Yeah. If you could, like, say something to society, like to the house community. I know you said before, like,
oh, it takes a village.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And I know you said like more acceptance and kindness and stuff.
And I understand everybody has limitations in terms of what they're capable of expressing of themselves. But I accept cash and credit cards. So
not just kindness.
We can make up for these little inadequacies. Money, I tell you, cures everything, right?
Does it?
No, to be safe, warm, or cool. In the summers, they get hot here. To be accepted by society. Just for who I am, for who I present to be. And again, I'm more than willing to accept someone's opinion of me on site, especially if it's positive. But you get what I mean. It's like, you know, I don't get a choice. What they think, they think. And that there's always hope. I don't think of it as hope. There's always, it's got to be something we can do here.
I agree.
To get somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to now that I got my wits about me again.
Yeah.
That dementia from malnutrition.
Yeah.
Really, really, really affected a lot of my life, and it takes a whole lot of energy to try to catch up with society and its pace.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Because especially here, we move so fast.
Being on foot, being on foot in Marin County. It's a challenge for me to remain with my equilibrium because of the traffic flows is so unpredictable.
Here in
Centerville.
Yep, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mark. Is there anything else you want to say to the people of the world? Any last message?
Yes, donate to Charlotte's Church.
Thank you. Oh, that's Mark. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.